This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
One of the one or two or three best NBA writers, reporters in the country. He's also a hell of a good dude. You should read him at The Athletic like I do. In fact, I subscribe to The Athletic. I came to it late. I know I'm cheap. Because Sam Amick went there. Sam underscore Amick on Twitter joins me now on the phone. Mr. Amick, how are you, buddy? Have you recovered from bubble life?
Hello, Mr. Ryder. That's a great question. The answer is probably no. You know what I mean? I don't think I have much of a choice. I keep telling people that it did mess with your rhythm, man. 2 months doing things different and then getting back into the working from home routine, but the NBA decided to not give us a breather, so away we go.
That's a long time not to see your boys, not to see your wife. I mean, not to put myself on front street for, I don't know, not being committed, but the best news I've gotten in a year where there hasn't been a lot of that was when CBS called to say we're not going to do the bubble this year. I feigned sadness. Oh.
Yeah.
Good call. Bad call.
It was very, very kind of mixed emotions. It was a professionally absolute highlight, something that, you know, the people who were there, there's memories you're going to have forever. We got two boys that are pretty young and everybody's trying to keep their family safe and get through this time. So tough stuff.
Sam Amick, before you became a big shot national NBA writer, breaking stories left and right and giving the best insight on the sport in the country, you covered that team there in Sacramento. So you are uniquely positioned across all those fronts to maybe give us some insight on what is such a bizarre story. What is going on with Bogdanovich? What happened, and what do you think is going to happen as best you can figure it out?
So what happened, truthfully, and you know this as well as anybody, it's a good old-fashioned game of kind of who do you believe. You know what I mean? There's definitely multiple stories going around, definitely a lot of CYA going around. The NBA opened an investigation into the tampering accusations earlier this week. And so that is being taken seriously, where you have people who are worried about their jobs. You have, you know, and so with that, it's like it's tougher to get to the truth. Now, Bogdanovich's camp 100% said from the very beginning when the news broke on Monday that there was no agreement. Now any person with a brain would immediately say, well, of course that's what they said, because they weren't supposed to be talking yet. Free agency doesn't begin until today. So from there, what's been unique about that, honestly, the challenge from a reporting standpoint, Bill, is that both teams have been told to shut up. And so I think two things. For one, they've largely done that. And so, they've been somewhat quiet. Then for two, there's this rock in a hard place for the teams, because if they point the finger at the player or the agent and say, no, you know, they said they were coming and then they backed out or something like that, well, then you just admitted you were tampering, you know. So that doesn't really get you anywhere. So I don't know what's going to happen next. I would essentially call that scenario dead in terms of him going to Milwaukee. For one, the Bucks waived Ersan Ilyasova, who was a major part to make the money work in that trade. His contract had to be guaranteed by Friday, and they didn't want to pay $7 million. He's got other options. And I am curious to see if he takes a meeting with the Bucks ultimately. I don't think he will, but, you know, stay tuned.
He is Sam Amick here on the show. Sam, whether it's Bogdanovich, whether it's Gordon Hayward, whether it's a series of guys who are free agents at, 6 o'clock Eastern tonight, or unrestricted free agents, as the case may be, some of these names have been linked to Atlanta. And I just personally, I'm high on what the potential for what Travis Schlenk is building. What is the likelihood that you think that Atlanta can land a real secondary score to go with Trae Young? And if they do, you know, a Brandon Ingram, a Gordon Hayward, whoever it might be, to whatever degree, to what degree do you take them seriously as a contender for a 6 or 7 or 8 spot in the Eastern Conference this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say when we don't know the cast of characters. I mean, they've been tied to some of the guys you mentioned. You know, Danilo Gallinari is another pretty serious one, right, that I pay attention to. Rajon Rondo. So, like, if you start talking about those types of players around a Trae Young in his third year, and we saw the jump that he made last year, I mean, it could be exciting. John Collins, you know, doing his thing. I like their new draft pick. You know, they're pretty big up front. So, you know, it's a matter to me of, I think what I'd be watching right away is that with Trae, once you get talent around you, then does your game evolve quickly enough to have success in your number three? Are you going to have to be that guy, you know, who does it on his own? Or can you meld with these other parts? I think that's going to be huge. I think, you know, Lloyd Pierce is going to have a challenge on his hands, because as exciting as Trae was last year, you know, that's the jump that a guy like that has to make, is going from a one-man show to a guy who's being a leader on a good team.
Sam Amick here on the show from The Athletic, Sam_Amick on Twitter. Sam, if you include for the moment the Rockets as they're constructed, right, for the moment with Harden and Westbrook, how many teams in the Western Conference do you think are going to go into this season trying to compete as if they are a playoff team, think they're a playoff team, a top eight team?
The Warriors news, obviously devastating. They went from title contending to, you know, but they're obviously still going to try. That Kelly Oubre trade was incredible from a financial standpoint. It's honestly, Bill, it's around 14. It's almost everybody. You know, the Suns are pushing forward with Chris Paul. The one that comes to mind that we just talked about in my backyard, the Kings are tricky because they have that playoff streak that, you know, league long. They haven't been in the postseason since 2006. But truthfully, with Monty McNair, their new GM, I think he's taking a pretty pragmatic look at their lineup. And not that they're tanking by any means, but, like, I'm curious to see what moves they make, because let's say they got off of a Buddy Hield and you know, tried to restructure some of their money, they could fall out of the playoff picture pretty quickly and be a 31 team. But it's very competitive from top to bottom. Like, when the Suns made that Chris Paul trade, it was funny because in a vacuum, you looked at it and you're like, oh, wow, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, Aaron Baines, all these guys, here we go. And then, you know, it's still exciting, but there is also, oh, by the way, a chance that even that team could not make the playoffs, you know, and that says a lot about the West.
Sam Amick here on the program. What is, for you, you know, a Steph Curry, Oubre, what would it be, Wiggins, Draymond, Wiseman, if I got that right, starting five, or whatever it looks like, what is that team, do you think? What's the realistic range for the Warriors this year?
I like it. I mean, it's going to be an incredibly interesting year. You know, knock on wood, let's say that they can be done with the health woes and Steph Curry in particular can stay healthy. It's going to, you know, here's Steph, this two-time MVP that, you know, how quickly we forget that at his peak, you know, we had given him the mantle and not LeBron, you know, as far as best player in the game. And then you have this fall from grace, mostly that he had nothing to do with. But now, without Clay at his side, just how much can he carry that squad? And I like what they have on paper. I like Oubre a lot. When I took a rare road trip to Phoenix last year and watched him pretty closely, like, that dude is feisty. He's a two-way player. He's competitive. And I think that from a cultural standpoint, he should fit in okay, especially with Draymond kind of coming up his backside, you know, and getting these young guys to you know, do their thing. So, I mean, at its best, you know, maybe they can be a top four team. Probably not. You know, they also got to be careful to not miss the playoffs. I mean, that's just the reality. But Wiseman, you know, by all accounts, you know, if anybody could contribute on a good team right away, he's the kind of kid that could, but that's a big ask of a rookie. And, you know, Draymond also, I think, is going to be front and center, because Draymond and Steph, they have all the hardware. They have the, you know, the credentials. Steph's certainly bound for the Hall of Fame, and Draymond kind of a fringe guy in that debate. But This is part of their legacy too. What did they do when they didn't have a super team? What did they do when they lost Clay? So I think they're going to be motivated.
Sam Amick, regardless of whether or not a trade comes to fruition, whether there's the assets for Brooklyn to do this, I'm just curious, in a vacuum, what your confidence level of success, what you think would happen if James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant were on a team together, to what degree do you think that would work or not work?
You know, I could be on the wrong side of history on this one, and you can replay this tape, you know, and poke fun at me in our future visits, buddy.
Would never do
but
it.
I'm cynical. Like, I don't know. It's one
me
ball.
Too.
And it's a ton of yeah.
Yeah, I don't buy it at all.
And I'm just partly because I've watched Harden, you know, play the way he has the last couple of years. I know how much he wants to play that way. Not only that, but he didn't. I mean, look at what's happened the last couple of years. I don't care who you want to blame, you know, and then not to be glib, but I know you and Chris Paul have had your run-ins in the past, and we all know his personality. Like, but Chris didn't want to play with you anymore. And then, honestly, and I know Russ has denied this, I'll just say, like, the noise and the vibe about the Russ James thing, just from a basketball standpoint, like, Russ had 1 year of this, and by all accounts, wants to kind of go back to playing how he played before Houston. And so that is a track record of, and then if you could even go back to Dwight Howard before then, you struggled to mix with other stars. And I know these guys are your buddies, but I don't know. I mean, you know, Russell Westbrook was your buddy too, and it didn't work. So I'd be somewhat cynical, but Steve Nash, from a temperament standpoint, I think would be, you know, possibly able to pull it off. And then Mike D'Antoni with the connection, you know, and being on Steve's staff, you know, I think that's big as well. Although, Bill, I'm going to start pushing for this other scenario that has no traction, and this is just fantasy trade stuff. I decided last night that I want Sam Presti to take all those picks and go get James Harden back.
Wow.
Have an Oklahoma City reunion. I think that's what should happen.
A buddy of mine who is a Warriors fan was like, the Warriors should go get Harden. I like the idea of, I mean, he is a former MVP. He is a prolific scorer, right? I mean, obviously the guy would be great.
He's incredible.
He's incredible. Do you think, all right, so I know this is sort of guesswork, and for you it's guesswork based on reporting, but Daryl Morey is the guy that's in charge now in Philadelphia. And I know he just said that Embiid and Simmons are part of their plans for a long time, but if I can be a little cynical myself, Sam Amick from The Athletic, he also told us not long ago he wanted to spend time with his family, and that lasted about 30 seconds, as he acknowledged. And, you know, in theory, Ben Simmons might not fit with what a Daryl Morey run team would be looking to do. Maybe, you know, it's interesting how it fits with Doc Rivers. Do you think there's a plausible scenario where Daryl Morey could try to make a run and Philly could try to make a run to go get James Harden?
Yeah, and I think that's how, you know, that's already happened.
Right.
That's my understanding. The thing is that Daryl doesn't want to give up any of those guys. Now, that makes it kind of a non-starter. I was told from the Philly side as of a couple of days ago that they think that Houston is going to hold on to James. You know, we shall see. But with those obvious personal connections, like, they should have a good read of the room. And, you know, and I'm 100%, I like Daryl a lot. I'm very much with you about he says what he needs to say. I mean, listen, I'm not trying to say the family stuff wasn't real, but it was in a very short order. You know, he was going to Philly. Also brings me back to, you know, last summer when, you know, remember he was kind of going through the roster with Chris Paul and thinking about trades. And I think said pretty definitively that Chris was going to be part of the starting five. And then Chris was sent out the door pretty quickly after that. So
yeah,
he makes moves, you know what I mean? And it's like, he's very shrewd and it's never personal. And, you know, and if his wife could get him a good player in return, maybe, you know, he'd make that deal too. And that's what makes him good. He's very good. And I do think he's going to look at everything. I just don't think he can get Harden without giving up something that he likes. And that's where it becomes, how tied are you? I mean, I would look at Simmons in particular, just how tied are you to Simmons and what do you want that team to look like?
Yeah. And it sounds like, Sam, we're on the same page. You never know, but I think the Daryl Morey hire was a stroke of genius. I think it will clearly be successful because of everything you just walked us through and his clear track record for being bold and trying different things until it works.
I very much also, I could be connecting dots that don't exist, but the other thought I had was that when, you know, Doc Rivers was obviously there before Daryl, and then you had Elton Brand, who's heading that front office. And so there was immediate conversation about how are all the interpersonal dynamics going to work. You know, Doc and Daryl were known to have a pretty good relationship. But if you're Elton, like, okay, you're welcoming Daryl in, but it's been reported that Daryl made a ton of money to go there. And so when they made the deal for Seth Curry, which delivers Doc Rivers, his son-in-law, and his grandchild into Philly, I immediately was like, wow, Daryl, that's genius. Way to ingratiate yourself, you know, with your new head coach and put a little personal touch and bring a guy to town who also, by the way, you know, shoots 44% from three-point range. I thought that was a pretty savvy little move.
You are fabulous. That is so astute. Sam Amick is amazing. I could talk to you for an hour, but I won't do that to you because you probably have things to do. Let me ask you this question, though. And Sam, this will shock you. I sometimes, like a dog with a bone, get a pet peeve about a player or a thing and just can't let it go. And I can be a little aggressive on that front. So here's one. You tell me if I'm being irrational. I understand that in any business, including the NBA, our business, you take whatever you're given. You whatever boundaries are set, you're going to push up against. But it does sort of annoy the hell out of me that players now can just decide, I don't want to be here. It doesn't matter if I have a contract for a year or two or three. I have to be traded. And at least for the moment, right, the Rockets are pretending that they're okay with people being uncomfortable. Do you believe there's a possibility that Houston or other teams can wrestle back some control away from players and put an end to guys just dictating, you know, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, we'll see if it's Harden and Westbrook. I mean, the list is long. If they're unhappy, they get to leave.
I mean, that control is going to have to be wrestled back within the Board of Governors room and in CBA negotiations. You know, when these things started happening, and I'm drawing a blank on kind of where I feel like the tipping point was, but within the last couple of years, you know, I remember talking to owners, even some of them who were not necessarily begrudging the players. They were just stating very matter-of-factly that if this is how it's going to be, then we are absolutely going to have to shorten contracts. Like, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So there's a desire, you know, in ownership circles to do that where, you know, it's not necessarily wrestling the control back. It's just not exposing the teams to the degree that they're exposed. And the Houston one is going to be a bit of a litmus test because, yeah, right out the gate, the Rockets – kind of defensive response to this situation with both guys and more so with Russ was like, okay, great, but you're under contract for two more years. And, you know, the kind of the appearance that puts them in the driver's seat, and we'll see, you know, and Russ's market is not robust. So that's going to play a huge factor as well. But I hear you. I think, you know, ultimately though, it would be them pushing to get shorter contracts as a way to help with that problem.
Sam Amick, it is not lost on me that you are a very busy and in-demand guy, and you have earned that through what has been a massive level of success in your career, as evidenced by all the insight you just gave us. So thank you, dude, for making time for us on a very, very, very busy day. You're a good dude.
Likewise, my friend. Always good to hear your voice. Hope the family's well, and talk to you soon.